Good morning.
And take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're turning, I'd like to give you a quick review for the benefit of those who may be joining the broadcast for the first time, and for that matter, for those of you who may have let some things slip. The Apostle Paul wrote this book, or was inspired by God to write this book, and Corinth is located between Athens to the northeast and Sparta to the southwest, in the province of Achaia, on the Isthmus of Corinth. It had the Aegean Sea on the east, the Adriatic Sea on the west, and because of its strategic location, it sat right astraddle of the all the caravan routes, all the trade routes from north and south, east and west. Everything passed through Corinth. And it is to this city that Paul has come and has preached, and now he writes, as he is not there at the present time, but he is writing to them because they've been having some problems. If we go back in the first chapters of the book, if we go back to chapter 1, for instance, Paul is writing to a church that is having some severe problems. He, at this point in time, and this is about AD 54, AD 55, he's writing from the city of Ephesus to the church at Corinth. There have been problems that have been communicated to him concerning the congregation in Corinth, and you'll find that beginning with chapter 1 and running through the first four chapters, he deals with the problems concerning divisions within the church. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, he addresses the problem of immorality within the congregation, within the confines of the particular local church. In verses 8, 9, and 10, he deals with things offered to idols or sacrificed to idols. And we talked about the responsibility that the stronger or the more mature Christian has in looking after the needs, the spiritual needs of the less mature. He spends a good deal of time on these things, and we'll come back to this in just a minute, because obviously we're in chapter 10, but if we go ahead, kind of a preview of what lies ahead, beginning with chapter 11 on through chapter 14, we have problems of disorder in the public services. Now, the one exception to that is chapter 13, and in chapter 13, he deals with something that is superior to the charismatic or sign gifts. In chapter 15, he deals with misunderstandings about the resurrection, and in chapter 16, he deals with finances, church finance, and some practical matters that need to be taken care of there in Corinth. Now, having said all that, by way of review on preview, we're in chapter 10. Chapter 10 is the concluding chapter of this section dealing with things offered or sacrificed to idols. However, because of the nature of the society, the culture in Corinth, idolatry has been a major part in anyone's existence. Now, for the Christian, this posed some very serious problems that to most people in that point in time would not have considered, they would have considered them to be a problem. Because of the prevalence of a heathen religion, pagan religion, because of the nature of the quote-unquote worship and acts of devotion to these pagan deities, you find immorality was widely, almost universally accepted as a way of life. Many of these religions had an aspect of fertility cult to them, and as such, fornication, adultery, was simply a part and parcel with these particular religions. In order to facilitate and make everything much more convenient, these specific religions had cores of prostitutes. Temple prostitution was very common. They had men prostitutes, they had women prostitutes, and so that there was no problem with anyone needing the services of said technicians. There was no need for them to be put off by having to go looking for somebody. The temple provided all the services necessary for the devotion to their gods. Now, because this was so widespread, when people converted to Christianity, when they were born again, there was a whole segment of their life that they have had to cut themselves off from. It would be a very difficult thing to have grown up this way, to be in a society where there was nothing wrong with having casual sex with any number of partners because it was expected by the religion and the society. Now, these Christians, though, let's face it, the old man, the old nature, yearns to go back to the old lifestyles, and this would have been a problem. That's probably at the root of the divisions, at the root of the immorality, at the root of the problems concerning idolatry in this church. Now, we have come through chapter 10 up to verse 13, and I'll simply read verse 13 as a springboard to get on into the rest of the chapter. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I spent a couple days last week on this, and now I want to continue on with verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I think it's interesting. We have just entered into a new year, 2004. And as you no doubt had time on New Year's Eve, maybe New Year's Day, you contemplated in 2003. And as you looked forward into 2004, there were things you purposed in your heart. You made resolutions. You resolved that you were going to do certain things or avoid certain things. You were going to lose weight, or you were going to quit smoking, or you quit drinking, or any number of things that you looked at and said, well, this is not beneficial to me. I want to get rid of it. I think it's good to look not only at the failures of 2003, as well as what victories there were. But I think as we go into 2004, I think this is a good place, an excellent place to consider. You've got all the hoopla of New Year's Eve and New Year's Day over. You've had your fill of football and too many chips and all the rest of that. Now you're getting kind of back into the swing of things, and I think it's good now to focus our attention on the Scripture. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. It's a good thing to know as you face 2004. There will be things that you have to face this year that you've never had to face before. Some things, well, let's face it, this is going to be the same old, and you're going to face the same temptations that you faced last year, perhaps new ones. Perhaps through the strength that the Lord supplies through the finished work of Christ on the cross, this year you will gain victory over sins and temptations that were a serious obstacle to your spiritual growth last year. Well, let's hope so. But now, as we look here in verse 13 and verse 14, you'll see that in verse 14 it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. As we pointed out in our discussion of chapter 10, verse 13, God is faithful. That is, he's dependable. You can count on him to see to it that when you are faced with a temptation, there is no necessity for you to have to succumb. or give in to that temptation. You can have the victory over it. You do not have to yield in those circumstances to the temptation the devil will bring to you. You can have victory. Now, you will find that sometimes victory comes because you just simply exert enough willpower and enough determination. I will not do this. There are other things because of the nature of the temptation, because of your own spiritual condition at that instant in time, that you waver. You will waver. And God, knowing that, has engineered into the situation a way of escape. You'll see it here in verse 13, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. As I pointed out when we looked at this last week, the problem so often is not that we don't recognize the way of escape, but rather we don't want to fool with it. It's too much effort. It's not as much fun as giving in to the temptation. Or whatever the excuse is, so often we come up against the temptation and we cave in. We roll belly up and there it is. We're nailed. We've been had. And we fail our Lord in this testing. Now, the Lord allows testing, not to see what we're going to do. I mean, He is God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And that being the case, it's not a matter He allows these tests and these temptations to come to us to see what we'll do. But I think sometimes it is a matter for us to see where we are. So many times, we don't pay any attention to the temptation in its consequences, in its ramifications. We look at it and say, well, I shouldn't do this. I better not do that. But we never really get down to the serious business of looking at why the temptation arose in the first place. The scripture tells us that God does not tempt any man, but when a man is tempted, he's led aside, led astray of his own lusts. The devil can't make you do anything if you're a Christian, but he can make things appear tantalizing enough, alluring enough, that your own desires, your own tendencies, those areas of weakness in your life make you more prone to slip, more prone to give in, or just throw up your hands and say, I don't care, I want to do it. And we ignore that way of escape. Now, in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. These people, having been saturated or living in a saturated society, I mean, idolatry, as well as the fornication, as well as all the rest of the mysticism and all the rest of that, had so saturated the society that it would be almost like, oh, well, I can't get away from it. It's always in my face. Now, he makes the point in verse 13, there's always a way to escape. There's always a way around it. Wherefore, or based on that, then flee from idolatry. There are some things, my friend, pride says, oh, I can deal with that. But the smart money says flee. Get away from it. Run from it. There are some things you really are not going to be able to whip on your own. Run. Flee. Now, my time is gone. I hope you'll join me tomorrow. I hope you'll find this section to be very profitable for you as you face the new year. And purpose in your heart to join me tomorrow as we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians. See you then.